Martha said, "Lord, by now there will be a stench. He has been dead 4 days." That reminds me that we need to keep showering. If after 4 days you haven't washed anything but your hands, please do so, for your own sanity and for anyone there with you. But seriously, over the past couple of weeks, so much in our lives has changed. It's staggering. It can be seemingly little things that have changed, like not having sports on TV to watch. I mean, the Canadians weren't going to make the playoffs anyway, but still, normally sports and concerts can serve as a welcome relief during difficult times. But those have been lost for now. Our autonomy and personal freedoms are lost right now, but other things are lost, and we don't know if and when they're going to come back. My assistant, Arlene, was supposed to leave this past week for a vacation with her family who live in Toronto. They canceled that a couple of weeks back, and she doesn't know if and when they're going to be able to take that trip together. Another one of my friends, you know, he's turning 50 this coming week. The party for that, that's off. Kids and students who are going to be graduating from school this year, you know, the graduation ceremonies, the proms, and all of those rites of passage, well, they're probably not going to happen, at least not in the usual way. This past week, I talked to a couple from the parish. They were planning on getting married in Italy in May. They had to postpone that. And think of all the parents who are planning baptisms, the children who are going to be receiving their first communion this spring. All of these things are up in the air. And the longer this goes, more and more of these small but meaningful things will be lost. Then there are the potentially life-altering changes that are occurring. The big one right now is the financial insecurity that people are feeling. And then there are all the people who've lost loved ones over the past couple of weeks, even if it's to something other than COVID-19. You know, even if you have a loved one who passed away from natural causes, but you can't have a funeral or a burial at the moment. And each of these things, from the less serious, like me being an extrovert and not being able to be with people, to the most serious and permanent changes imaginable, all of them carry with it some grief and some mourning. Let me tell you about a specific thing that's weighing on my heart right now. 4 years ago, actually 4 years ago this week, because Easter was earlier that year, I was in St. Benedict's Parish in Halifax celebrating Easter with them. And I was there when they baptized 5 or 6 people and welcomed more into the church. People who had been baptized in another tradition who were being welcomed into the church at Easter. And forgive me if you've heard this before, but as I watched that happening, as I saw the joy on those people's faces, and I felt this profound movement from God, telling me that this is what he wanted me doing. That he wanted me to baptize and welcome adults into the faith every Easter. At St. Ignatius, that had not happened in decades. So I recognized that I needed to change my heart and my attitude in order for that to change in our church. And I did. I promised the Lord that I would do what he asked, that I would go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And when I got back, we began all the work needed to change our church's culture and attitude so that disciple making became our priority. And it worked. But that very first year, as we're gaining momentum and making lots of behind-the-scenes changes, I had one person approach me about becoming Catholic, but it was getting too close to Easter to really prepare them properly. So I prayed about it, and I said, okay, Lord, this first year, I'm prepared to not have anyone to baptize. I get why we can't this year, but I'm doubling down on next year. It seems like as soon as I prayed to God about it, lo and behold, a couple of weeks before Easter, someone calls me from Loyola High School explaining that they've been preparing a young man for baptism, but that they can't baptize someone at the school. It has to be in a church. So they asked me to do it. And to me, that was God confirming my prayer, confirming all the work that we'd put in up to that point. That was a huge sign to me that we were doing God's will and his work here at St. Ignatius. And we've baptized adults at Easter every year since then. But then earlier this week, I got a notice from the Archdiocese that because of the coronavirus, we will not be able to baptize anyone this Easter. And this means that Emma and Celine and Danusha and Samantha, who are going to be baptized, we're going to have to do that at a later date. That means that Carlos and Matt, who are going to be confirmed and received into the church, are going to have to wait as well. And for me, although I understand why, that's been a bitter pill to swallow. That's what I work for. That's the moment when I feel most like the priest God wants me to be. And I get that you might think that it's not a big deal, just postpone the ceremony and you can do it when all this coronavirus stuff is over. But I love to be able to baptize people at Easter. I love celebrating Easter by bringing new men and women into the sacramental relationship with the resurrected Jesus. I love celebrating the joy of the resurrection with all of you. That's, to me, is why all the hard work, all the sacrifices I've made, all the sacrifices I've asked others to make, it's all worth it for those moments. And it's been crucial to my ministry these past 4 years. And now I have to let that go. And that's hard for me. And so I grieve. And as you see, I weep over that loss too. For you, it's going to be something else. Maybe it's that family vacation you'd been planning for so long. Maybe it's the road trip that you were planning to go see the Raptors play in Toronto. Maybe it's the concert that you've been hoping to see for such a long time. Maybe it's the elderly loved one in a senior's residence that you're really worried about and you can't see right now. Maybe it's the wedding that you still hope won't have to be postponed. I don't know about you, but I need to know that as I grieve, Jesus grieves with me. As a priest, I've been blessed with the opportunity to be with so many people in moments of grief. And I use that word blessed deliberately. It's not a burden. It is a blessing. And I know by now that there are no words that will make it better. I don't have the words today to make it all better. But in my experience, it isn't the words that matter. It's the presence. In those moments of mourning, in those moments of grief, we need to know that someone else is there with us. Not at that moment, but in that moment of grief with us. Today, in the gospel, we see that Jesus knows what it is to grieve. He knows what it is to weep because someone he loved has died. Here we have him mourning his friend Lazarus. And although it's not mentioned in Scripture, we can imagine that he must have wept and mourned at Joseph's death too. After all, Joseph was the man who gave him the closest earthly example of fatherhood. Jesus, in the Sermon on the Mount, said, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted." Well, it's not those words that I find comforting. It's Jesus' presence in my mourning that I find comforting. It's not that the words aren't true, they are. It's just that Jesus being present is what matters to me. I imagine him sitting with me, not saying anything because there are no words, but just with me in that grief. And that affords me comfort. But I also know from years of experience in dealing with people in moments of grief that we are human beings. And humans need two things when we have to let go of something, when we have to mourn the loss of something. The first thing that we need is we need to honor the thing that we have lost. Honor the past, the lost dream, the plan for future. And as humans, we usually need to honor that with rituals. That's just how we're wired. And the second thing we need, as well as besides honoring it with rituals, is we need time to mourn. But in our current situation, both of those are hard to come by. Rituals, which usually involve others, are hard because we're isolated from one another. And time is difficult because we're having to adapt to new realities so quickly, we don't have time to mourn the past, to mourn what we've lost. I want to tell you that it is okay to make your own rituals, to honor what you've lost, to give yourself the time to do so properly. You know, I spoke about my assistant Arlene having canceled a planned family trip this past week. Well, that was meant to give everyone an opportunity to spend time together, to spend time with the people they love. So on the night they were supposed to be leaving, they got together over Skype or whatever, and they raised a glass of wine to that canceled vacation. It can be that simple. Take the time and find a way to honor the loss. That simple ritual of raising a glass and toasting to what has been lost. For something like that, that can be enough. For bigger losses, it'll probably take more time and a more significant ritual. And at this point, it may take more creativity too, to adapt and create new rituals that will allow us to honor what was lost. And it seems to me that now, more than ever, we need to hold on to the resurrection. The resurrection is what Martha and Mary and even Jesus held on to in their grief today. As we approach Easter, you know, I mentioned that I won't be able to baptize and welcome into the church those men and women this year, but it's not like Easter itself is canceled. We're still going to be celebrating Easter. And I think that renewing our hope in the resurrection is more important than ever. Let's find new ways to celebrate and join in the resurrection of Jesus, the ultimate triumph of good over evil. That's what Easter is. It's God's mercy and love triumphing over evil. We at St. Ignatius are going to try and get creative to bring you some of the rituals of Easter. Palm Sunday, Holy Thursday, Good Friday, Easter Sunday, all have their own little rituals. The palms, the washing of feet, the sprinkling. And we're going to find creative ways to help you join in those, even from home. God can make good come out of evil. And the resurrection is real, and it gives me tremendous hope. As I said, it gives Martha and Mary hope in today's gospel, even before Lazarus is raised from the dead. Hope in the resurrection and in Jesus means that their grief doesn't turn into despair. And perhaps that is the most important thing that we need to guard against during this crisis. We will not let the losses we suffer mean that we lose hope. We will not let grief turn into despair. Christ, the resurrection, Easter, gives us everything we need to make sure it doesn't. Like Christ and with Christ, we will find a way to triumph. We will find a way to rise from this too.